first desire for us to attend the translation thing tonight, and so it just worked out better that we meet here instead. And so to kind of run parallel, what I decided to do is tonight we were going to talk about just what we confess to be true about the Bible, right? So as it is central to our faith, we were going to talk about how what LifePoint confesses, and well, and then therefore Orthodox Christianity, what we confess to be true about the Bible. And then I wanted, for the application, I want to talk about where that hits you, okay? And so just know that we're going to get, if it seems like it's boring, and it might be, just know that we're headed somewhere practical with it. We've got to lay a little bit of foundation first. Tonight, instead of reading from Extreme Devotion, there's a pastor that persecution.org has been praying for. He is a currently being held in a Turkish prison. His name's Andrew Brunson. He's been in there quite some time, and his next and final, from what it is understood, his next and final court date is July 18th. Of course, he's there on trumped-up blasphemy charges and whatever. And so instead of reading from that, I wanted to read what they had posted about him. So it said, "Please pray fervently for Pastor Andrew Brunson. He is still being held in a Turkish prison, and his next court date is set for July 18th. Please pray that his court date will not be postponed again, and that on July 18th, the court will rule that he is to be released immediately." Of course, if you keep up with this kind of thing at all, you know that they just stretch out court dates and postpone to keep people in prison on charges that are, like I said, often trumped up against somebody. So when we pray, we're going to pray specifically for him and the rest of our evening. So I don't think there's any other administrative things to talk about. So we're just going to kind of jump right into it. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you that we can gather in out to talk about your word and the volume that comes with it. We also pray for this brother who's across the world, no doubt feeling lonely and scared. And we pray that Holy Spirit, you would be there in the way that only you can, to know that Christ will triumph, and that the kingdoms of this world can stand against him and can band together all that they wish, but they will be overthrown. And that to stand against God and his anointed is a futile effort. And that no man can be held prisoner who you want free. So we pray for our brother, who we will know in eternity. And we thank you for that you are all powerful. And I pray tonight, as we talk about your word and what it means, that we would be different tomorrow morning, that what we learn tonight we will take into the world that so hates you and that so wants to destroy our faith in you, that we would realize more than ever how powerful it is that we stand together in Christ. So I pray for all those here, especially those who don't know Jesus, that tonight what we would say would bear fruit in those hearts, and that for those who do, that they would be comforted and built up, and that we would truly become more of a brotherhood and sisterhood in Christ. Pray that all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so tonight we're going to talk about what we confess and must believe about the Bible. So because they're talking about translation and what it means to get the Bible into other languages, in the sanctuary, we're going to talk about what we confess to be true about the Bible, because what we think has a very important implications in our life. First of all, let's just start with this. Why do you think this is a discussion that we have to have? So why is it that we have to be clear what we believe about the Bible? Why is it important that the church has a stand about about what we believe about the Bible? Savannah. It is. It absolutely is. So for those who didn't hear Savannah, it's easy for people to... it's funny how politicians never really support the Bible until Jesus says something that they can twist into supporting their position, right? So, and that goes for right or left. So Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, anybody... The government's only interested in what Jesus has to say if they can take a verse out of context and manipulate it somehow. So, absolutely. So, people can often take the Bible and kind of twist it to however they, however best benefits them. Why else? Because Presumably the Bible is important or we wouldn't be here, right? Or we wouldn't teach from it every week. Chance? Exactly, and we're going to get to that. So I mean, if the Bible is everything that it says it is, it has to be the basis of everything that we believe and that we do. Anybody else? I had a couple ideas, and if this spurs anything, you can just let me know. But first of all, the reason why we have to have a discussion about the Bible is that it claims to be the very words of God Himself, and we're going to fill out what that means. So not only does it claim to be the words of God, but it makes incredible demands and claims. This is not just an average book. This book makes incredible claims that if it were any other book would quite frankly sound silly. It also makes demands that if it were any other book would be unnecessary, right? And so we have to decide what we believe about it. If it is true and it's binding, that has incredible implications. If it's something we can dismiss and take apart, then it's just not that important. Second, because and this is what I really wanted to talk about toward the end, but you are getting for sure, and this is what I want feedback from you guys from, is that you're getting contrary messages from both the culture and your sphere, social and otherwise, that run contrary to the Bible. You're getting things from television that tell you opposite things from here. You're in a social setting and in a any other kind of setting that culturally will tell you that this is not correct and that you need to be doing things another way. So we have to decide what we believe about it. So until we get to that, this is what I want you to think about. Okay, so this is the thought that we're going to get to eventually. So I'll tell you ahead of time, so there's no reason not to have an answer. But until we get to then, I want you to think about messages you do get. Think about it from either television, friends, society, culture, whatever. What are some of the messages that you do get that you know run contrary to the to what God's word says? And I have some examples, but think of it this way. Can you think of a specific commercial where you think, that's trying to sell me something or trying to convey a message that I know runs completely contrary to what God's word has to say? So think about that, because you're getting inundated with messages. The question is, do you pick up on them? All right. So, and to that end, what we're going to do is, if you remember last year, we ran through the New City Catechism, kind of establishing a foundation of biblical truth, and then the idea of worldview. We're going to do this coming fall, or this coming school year, with the book of Ephesians. We're going to address specific issues of things you deal with, kind of building a biblical worldview. So that's what we're going to be doing. But what I wanted to do to start things off with was to talk about what life point statement of faith. So what is it they believe as regards the Bible? Okay, so I'm going to read this, and I'm going to put a couple of words up on the board, and we're going to talk about, we have to define our terms, and so we're going to start there. Okay, so section four of the Bible, we believe, and that's us. If you have latched yourself to Life Point, then this is something that we are under the impression that you believe this too. We believe that the Bible is the inspired, eternal, infallible, and sufficient Word of God, inerrant in the original manuscripts, and the final authority in all matters of faith and conduct. It was written by men, divinely inspired. It has God for its author, salvation as its end, truth without any mixture of error for all its matter, and all creeds, human conduct, and opinions must be tried by the Word of God. So the reason why for example, the catechism, any catechism, any human creed. So we do the Nicene Creed with communion, right? All these historic church documents were crafted by godly men who knew the Word of God. And the reason why we went through a catechism is because it's really just a condensed version of biblical teaching. And so that it's been used for centuries to train young believers. But let's talk about what this means, because it is common for people to throw these words around and not really know it, what they really mean. So let's do that. If somebody could, if you have your Bible, if you get it out, that'd be great. If you don't have your Bible, shame on you. But I need somebody to find 2 Timothy 3:16, okay, while I put this on the board. By the way, I'm not celebrated for my handwriting, so if you cannot find it, if you don't understand a word, just let me know. All right, some big words up there that you're going to look pretty cool trying to work into conversation this coming week. But anyway, thank you. Thank you, Savannah. Even if it was a pity laugh. Even if it was a pity laugh, I'll take it. All right, so we got some big words up here, right? These are words from the statement of faith. We're going to start with inspired. First of all, before we get into that, when you hear the word inspired, how is it often used? In what context do you hear the word inspired or inspiration? Okay, so can you help me? Can you kind of build on that? What do you mean? Did you say inventions? Can anybody help Joy? Oh, so, Hannah Belts. Yeah, okay. Is that what you meant? Cool. All right. So you hear it in the, you kind of hear it in the context of maybe a, kind of you get this insight, oh, that leads to an invention, and you have an idea, and so forth. And so, yeah, that's one way. What else? How else do you hear it? Yeah, you can be inspired by other people. You can look up to somebody and be motivated to achieve and pursue things. So then what is the in those kind of contexts, how is inspiration then defined? How would you define inspiration based on those kind of contexts? Yeah, so I take motivation. So motivation or inspiration, but that's what we're trying to define. So yeah, I'm gonna have to take motivation, Sam. All right, so Max, you're Max, you're not Sam. Right, so it's motivation. So motivation. That's not always been how it's defined, though. Okay. So let's read 2 Timothy 3:16. Who has it? Who can read it loud? Nate, really loud. I mean, like, show me what kind of pipes you got.
All scripture is breathed out by God.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Way to go. All right. And then can somebody read 2 Peter 1:20-21. Joy, would you read 2 Peter verses 1:20-21? Right, so the picture we get from the Bible itself is that Scripture is literally breathed out by God, and we're going to talk about what that means, just kind of incorporate that in definition in just a second. But so God breathed out the exact words he wanted written down in this Bible via the Holy Spirit through the writers of Scripture. So it is fair to say, we're going to define then infallibility, inspiration, that's what we're trying to define, the exact words that God wanted written down through the writers of Scriptures. They were not robots. The Holy Spirit worked with who these writers were. And obviously, there is so much more here. We're just trying to tackle kind of the basics. But what we have in the original manuscripts is exactly what the God of the universe wanted written down on paper. Those original manuscripts have been faithfully transmitted through time so that we can confidently say that what the God of the universe wanted the writers of Scriptures to put on paper, we have accurately in front of us. Okay, that is no small thing. That's why it is important that we are trying to translate it and get it out to the world, because the God of the universe has the exact words that he wants transmitted to the church throughout the centuries. All right. Infallible. I almost said infallible. But all right, because these aren't really words that fallible and inerrant, we're going to save sufficient for last, because I think that is most important. Well, sorry, it's important to warrant its own kind of end of discussion. But let's talk about infallible and inerrant. When we say that, when we confess that the Bible is infallible, we say that the infallibility is the idea that Scripture cannot lead us astray or make mistakes in matter of faith and practice. That as we pursue Christ, we cannot be led astray by the Holy Scripture. Inerrant means that the original writings were free from error and did not affirm anything contrary to fact. So these writings affirm nothing contrary to fact, and they make no mistakes in matters of faith and practice. That means everything that we need, that ultimately leads to the idea of sufficiency. Everything that we need, the idea that Scripture is sufficient, we need nothing else, we need no other revelation, we need no visions from prophets. Everything we have is everything that we need. The Bible is completely sufficient. To finish the, or to kind of, to comment on infallibility and inerrancy, would somebody please read Psalm 19:7? Right. The law of the Lord is perfect. There, it does not err. It does not lead astray. And I pull. I brought a quote from John Wesley, which I think is very important. John Wesley said, "If there would be any mistake in the Bible, there may as well be 1,000. If there be one falsehood in that book, it did not come from the God of truth." What is he saying there? So if there's one, there might as well be 1,000. What is John Wesley saying? Right. That's exactly right. So if there's one false statement in here, well, then what makes me think I can trust the rest of the book, right? Especially considering that my eternal soul hangs in the balance. So if there's one error, there might as well be 1,000. Really, what he's saying here is that I think, and rightly, is that you have to take it all. People like to cherry pick from the Bible, but we confess that it is all perfect and all of use to us. And we're going to get in just a second the idea that the entire Bible is completely infallible and errant. But let's talk about sufficiency real quick. When you say something is sufficient, what do you mean? So when you use the word sufficient, what do you mean? Sorry. Yeah, so you can do that, you know, if you have a sufficient diet, that it meets all your needs, how else would you use sufficient? Yeah, exactly. So, you know, whatever it satisfies for the occasion. The technical definition of sufficiency is that Scripture contains all the words that God intended for his people to have in each stage of history, and now contains all of the words of God needed for salvation, trust, and obedience. We need nothing else. I don't know if you ever, so one of my guilty pleasures, and don't tell anybody this, my wife knows this, but one of my guilty pleasures is I should feel ashamed, and I'm sorry, I don't, but I love to watch those televangelists, like the ones that like to heal people, and like, does anybody else watch those? Oh, I can't help it, but I'm fascinated with those, you know, those faith healers who strangely only seem to work on orthopedic issues, like if it's a hurt shoulder or an ankle, like it's never any kind of disease or anything. But these people seem to be getting, there's a couple of very well-known people in the charismatic crowd that kind of get these extra revelations from God. We don't need extra revelations from God. I cannot remember which Puritan said it, but if revelations from God don't match up with the Word, they're wrong, and if they do match up with the Word, they're not needed. So we don't need any extra revelations from God. The idea of sufficiency says that we have complete everything that we will need throughout all history to lead us into salvation, trust, and obedience. Now let's talk about the Old Testament and the New Testament. We're going to talk about then Jesus, and then I want to talk about where you guys are with a couple of specific things.